This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey man, good morning, how do you do?
Hey man,
just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey man,
now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey man,
what's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen and the lineup too?
Hey man,
how was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, man.
Is it true you're a deadhead too?
Hey, man.
Kid Baseball want to talk music with you.
Hey, man.
All right, we're back here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty and Mac as well, joined by two special guests, Mac Trero, Chris Trero. Thanks for joining us in studio today. We appreciate the time. I know this is the holiday season, the off season. You could be doing so many more things right now, but yet here you are. So let's start off with the newlywed game. Bob didn't tell you that's what we were going to do. I'm kidding.
Oh, I was ready.
Don't challenge her.
What is Matt's favorite cookie during Christmas?
Oh, that would be his mother's chocolate chip cookie squares, the Blondies.
Did she nail it?
Yeah, that'd be an easy one. Yeah.
All right. What's his favorite Christmas movie?
Oh, A Christmas Story.
Really?
Two for two.
Oh, man. Okay. You and Mac together.
Mac's here. Let's
go. Q.
You don't like that one?
No. It's, there's so many better ones,
They've
know?
Been crapping on it this whole time,
that's
man.
That's a bone of contention, man. Careful.
Nice meeting you guys. Have a good day.
We did show our kids Elf the other day for the first time.
Oh, really?
That's a tough one to not like either. Yeah. I mean, I love Elf, but I can't go wrong with A Christmas Story.
What about Home Alone?
Oh yeah! Oh, they love that.
Oh, they've
one.
Watched
yeah.
one through four.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. See, yeah. Three's underrated.
Yeah,
it's not the same they definitely kid, get worse. They definitely get worse
yeah,
as they
for
go.
For sure. One and two are really good. Somebody asked this morning on Twitter. They said, "Would you watch Home Alone if it was redone with an adult Kevin defending his house?"
Who comes up with that idea?
Somebody on Twitter, right?
Oh my God!
I think the answer is no.
No, you would not watch that one. What about Christmas Vacation? Would you watch that one?
Yeah,
that's a good.
That's
one too.
Yeah, that's a staple.
Yeah,
yeah.
So most years I dress as Cousin Eddie.
I don't think our kids are ready for that one yet, but we love that one.
Good, good.
One I hated as a kid that I watched. This is not that you need to know this or care, but like every year on Christmas Eve, the last thing I do is I make an old fashioned and I watch It's a Wonderful Life. And I cry every time.
Oh, sure. I don't know if that's going to resonate with the kiddos
not
right
yet.
Now.
It
but
it didn't resonate.
Maybe the old-fashioned.
Yeah,
though.
Okay.
Yeah. Your kids have an old-fashioned.
Yeah, he'll be in bed soon. So let's talk. So we just saw Vegas is kind of loving you guys this year a little more than they did last year. I know you're not a gambling person, obviously, for reasons, but 82.5 is the Royals' win total this year. I'm taking the over, not because you're here, but I'm being honest with you. I like what you guys have done last year. It kind of made the way easier this year. You don't have to do so much. Obviously, you bring Waka back. Lugo's here. Reagan's comes back this year. Are you, I know it's such a long season, but are you like champing at the bit to get back? Or are you kind of enjoying your time right now?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, you always, you keep your blood flowing a little bit with the off-season stuff. We have tons of conversations, tons of meetings, those kinds of things. And it's fun to stay in touch with the guys, but you also know they need their time to decompress, as do we. But when the once Christmas hits, I mean, then it's, you know, it's here in no time. So
you guys are 98 days away from opening day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we look far more at the going to spring training, and that's coming up quick. But no, we definitely enjoy the off season. It's great to be around family and friends and all those kinds of things. But yeah, I mean, this is what we do, you know, and it's a 8 to 9 month on the field thing, hopefully. And, you know, so we're looking forward to getting back out there. We do like our team a lot, and, you know, hopefully there's still more improvements to come, but we do like our chances.
How much different was the offseason for you this year coming off a playoff appearance versus the prior year when you were new in town, you lost 100 games. Now you're king of the world, man.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, we got knocked out in the divisional round. So, like, you know, we want to be winning the last game of the year. But it's definitely different. You know, I mean, first of all, personally, it's a lot different. You, now we're here, we're established here. We really have a routine. Our kids love it. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris loves it here. Just doing little things. Like just the other day, we went to a high school basketball game. You know, like, all right, we're kind of know some people that do things. We're moving around, kind of feel like it's home finally. And that's a really nice feeling. Everybody's been super welcoming in the community. You know, but from a baseball standpoint, yeah, it's a lot nicer to come off a positive season than a negative season. Mm-hmm. You know, but again, we want to continue to grow that. We're not going to be satisfied with where we were.
Yeah. Chris, what about for you? How much better has it been coming off that winning season?
Oh, I'd say it's quite lovely. There's a little more warmth from the community, being recognized. Well, Q, not so much myself, which is fine with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, the momentum is there, the motivation, and just a lot of spirit. And, you know, I get a little jealous of those Chiefs because I'm in a sea of red all the time.
Right.
So it was really nice to see some blue. And, community spirit.
The blue comes back fast. You're shaking your head and smiling, like, yeah, immediately comes back as soon as this baseball. Because I do believe still, even with the successes of the Chiefs, this is a baseball town at heart. And it always has been. And you see it, man. You guys started winning. People went to the games. The playoffs were packed. Everybody's talking about it, wearing their blue and whatnot. So you make a big impact when you do that. It has a nice residual effect on everybody.
Yeah, you know, some of the cool things that were sent to us, you know, throughout the course of the year, you see the fan footage from Power and Light when people are gathering there, or the,
yeah, that was cool.
We saw the really one cool thing from the Kansas City Symphony, played Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and they had Chiefs or Royals gear on, and, you know, like things like that that touch different parts of the community. And I get, you know, really nice heartfelt notes from people that, you know, come to the office about, you know, it's been this many years, my dad and I, like all those kinds of things that are really cool to know that you had a hand in, but mm-hmm. also just to know that the community, that support is building, and they want that, and, you know, they want it back, and that, so it feels good to give them part of that.
I like the fact that you call him Q still, too. I think that's beautiful.
I do that for the listeners, because he's not Q to me, but I figure people will be like, Who is she talking about if I said Matt?
Yeah, so it's true.
It's Q today, gentlemen. Yeah. It's Q.
What's his name when he's in trouble?
Oh, Matt.
Well, okay.
Just Matt.
Yeah.
I got a cute name for him, but
what
nobody's
is it?
Okay. Didn't we talk about this last time?
I don't know. I don't know that we did, but Dusty's new, so he doesn't remember.
Dusty.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can call him Mickey. It's a real term of endearment with me.
Mickey.
And it's not a cute thing. It's her brother. There was an EA Sports cartoon or a Sega cartoon where the guy slides into third base, gets up, some woman waves at him in the stands, and he gets hit in the privates with a ball.
Ooh.
And so she yells, "Hi, Mickey," and so he gets hit. He gets distracted. So that's where she came up with that. So it had nothing to do with, like, okay, anything between the two of us. Her brother came up with it.
So maybe a story not worth telling.
No, yet. It's hysterical. Like, so that's what her brother thinks of you, the guy that gets hit.
Yeah. And this was probably 25 years ago, you know, that he came up with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait till I'm in the dugout and I say, "Hey, Mickey, you got Bobby in second today," and then see what Sam says to me after that happens. Yeah. So I guess we don't call him that.
Who the hell's Mickey, right?
Well, I guess you don't know him the way I do.
That's right, yeah.
No, so it is interesting. So, like you said, the season, I said it comes in 98 days, right? So, like, when does it really start for you? And I guess you as well, Chris, because you guys are into this together. Like, mm-hmm. it's a family thing, right? Like, when does it really start? You say after Christmas and boom, like,
well,
January 2nd?
I mean, you know, not in earnest. I mean, it really starts when you leave for spring training, you know, but once Christmas hits, it feels like things speed up, you know, the mm-hmm. the clock speeds up a little bit getting ready for spring training, and, you know, we'll have Royals rally and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, visit some players. Those kinds of things happen in January, and just know that you got to get, you know, Paul Hoover and Vance, they get the spring training schedule going, and you know, we start having those conversations about actual day-to-day planning. So that's when things really speed up. But when you hit the ground in Arizona is when it really gets going.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Yeah, I mean, spring training is a blast. Everybody's feeling good. Everybody's in a good mood out
there.
It's
so chill.
It really is
fantastic.
It's the best.
The close proximity to all the action, can't beat it. We have really good friends that join us there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great way to get the season started.
And I think you're right about the chill word, because it really is like, and I'm taking the family down this year for the first time, and so they've never been. And so just to have that vibe of spring training, they're just so relaxed. I mean, you just kind of sit there and, you know, just kind of watch baseball and have a good time. I know you guys probably aren't that way, but like from a fan experience and having that opportunity, I think it's the best way to kind of experience baseball. You get up close with the players as well. Everybody's so gracious with the autographs. It's just the perfect, you know, opportunity for people to become fans.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, you think about the major league team and all that goes into that, but once minor league camp starts too and you have another 150 players out there, if you're a baseball fan and you can go all day, all night watching baseball, you can go to different facilities in close proximity around Phoenix. Mm-hmm. If you're a baseball junkie, you want to go to spring training because, you know, or if you're trying to get somebody indoctrinated into baseball, go to spring training. You're going to see a lot of good stuff.
And I always tell people too, the best corner of the food in the universe is in spring training at 101 and Bell Road. You got a Whataburger, but In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A in the same parking lot. I mean, where else are you going to get that opportunity, right?
Jeez, no one's brought that up yet, but we'll have to explore that corner.
That's right. And a Whataburger is a little bit further down towards Surprise, but that is the best food corner in Arizona there.
I would assume that you would probably say Arizona to the answer to this question, but like last year that team was special. Like my dad and I, we grew up Royals fans going to games, season ticket holders, and he grew up in the 70s with the Yankee rivalry, and then of course now he's back. Like he can't stand Soto, Jazz Chisholm pisses him off, all that sort of stuff. I just hate those damn Yankees.
I like your father.
He's a good dude, yeah. He looks like Shooter McGavin, but has a heart of gold.
Huge parrot head.
Yeah, huge Buffett fan. But when did you kind of like know as a manager, like last year, like, okay, we got something here. Like we can go deep into the season and have a chance to play playoff baseball.
Well, I mean, you never know anything in this game, right? It changes so much day to day. But I really felt good in the offseason. As soon as we acquired Waka and Lugo and Will Smith and those guys that, you know, they had that playoff experience. They brought that confidence. They brought that vibe to mix with the Bobbies and Salvies and MJs and guys that, you know, we really feel highly about. But, you know, what really inspired me as a manager was when we hit the ground running in spring training, those guys said, like, point blank to me and to the media, like, we're done talking about last year. You know, that mm-hmm. had the guys that were coming in new, that had nothing to do with them. They weren't here. That wasn't their team. They didn't want to dwell on that. And that was like a stern message of like, all right, turn the page, let's go. And that was music to my ears because I certainly didn't want to keep talking about the previous year. Mm-hmm. So that was when I thought we had something. And, you know, when you do this job year after year, you have to have a little bit of a level of insanity that things can change quickly, because otherwise, why are you involved in it? You have to believe you're going to win every time you go out there, and that's a huge part of what those guys brought to the table.
Yeah, it was fun to watch it all kind of come together in the off season too. You're adding all these players, and like people are getting excited because it was really the first time we've seen the Royals be active in free agency.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. You know, you guys have more of a history with that than the free agency, and that took a big commitment from Mr. Sherman. I mean, those are big dollars that we spent last year, and you know, free agency, but also locking up Bobby for the long term, which was a huge addition, not only for the team, but the community and the organization. That was a huge boost. Mm-hmm. So to have all those things come together, it made us feel really good about where we were going, and you know, we continue to ride that.
You mentioned John, and I think it's interesting because today we were just talking about, before you guys came in, the owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, saying, well, we're not going to make a trade for Jerry Jeudy because his Madden rating was too low, right?
And he didn't even get hit in the nuts.
Yeah.
Well played, Dustin. Well played.
Thank you.
But he says that. What would you do if John goes, yeah, we can't make that move because his EA Sports rating? Like, you're laughing. Like, I mean, it's one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know if I could imagine him saying that, one. And two, I mean, you know, in all seriousness, the way he goes about his business, the way that he helps support you know, our vision, JJ's vision, is really second to none. You know, it's very, you guys know the whole story behind the ownership group, and everybody's invested in the city and the community. And I think that sets the tone for how everything's done in the organization. So, yeah, I don't know if he'd play EA Sports or whatever, but actually, I'd kind of like to hear him say that. Just, or maybe on the flip side, we're going to get this guy because of that. Just see have that come out of his mouth.
No doubt. From the text line so far, Royals 33 Mickey jersey added to my Christmas list is the top text. I think it's funny.
Awesome.
She sent that.
I don't know. It's her number 91.
My phone is in the car.
Oh, dang. It's like a comedy show. It has to say locked up in the bag. So I think it's funny you say you didn't want to dwell on that, because I remember this last year, and I know you don't. You're a busy man. But you had won more games already in July that they had won before the All-Star game last week. And I was in the press conference, and I asked you, I was like, what's so much different about this team than last year? And kind of like in a dad tone, you were like, yeah, I don't really care about last season. And I knew at that point, and this is July, right? We're like halfway through the season. And that question kept coming up. And every time we'd hear it or somebody would bring it up, I'd look at Bob and be like, he hates this question. And I'm glad that you emphasize on that, because it is true. Like, I mean, I know everything is short-term memory in baseball. Like, even pitchers have that mentality. Like, yeah, last inning you give up two runs, one was a home run. We got seven more innings to go. Let that one go away. How much of this team is already over this past year and ready to go this year?
Yeah, I was just going to say that same thing. You know, regardless of the previous year's result, we can't ride 24 into 25, right? I mean, this is a different team. It's going to have different players, different makeup. Every team is completely different. And what we have to do is concentrate on the day-to-day. We have to go, when we hit the ground in spring training, it'll be a refocus on every fundamental and amp that up even more, because we understand, and now these guys have lived playoff baseball, that every little bit counts. Mm-hmm. Like, every fine detail has to be examined and coached better and executed better. And all those things, that just raises your level. So I'm glad you brought that up, because those same questions that could be construed as positive this time around are not going to have any effect on our 25 season, and we need to be able to turn the page.
Yeah, and I think that's what you have to do. Like, I mean, no matter how good last season was, it doesn't matter. Like, that already happened. You got to find a way to continue to get better and improve. And how close were you to signing Soto, did you say?
Right there. Yeah, we just lost out at the buzzer.
He didn't like his MLB show rating in outfield.
Yeah. John's like, hey, he's only really a two-tool player according to MLB The Show, so we're out on this guy, right?
That's a crazy contract. Can we realize that he's that close to $1 billion? Like, how long until that happens?
Who's going to be the first billion-dollar guy, too?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you look back at the, you know, I don't have other figures in front of me, but it hasn't really been that long since, like, everyone thought A-Rod's contract was ridiculous. And then
that was 252.
Yeah, and now you're looking at, whatever that is.
$500 million more.
Yeah, in that relatively short amount of time. I can't imagine that it's going to continue to go at that rate, because even the teams that are spending that amount of money, I don't know if they believe it's sustainable. But if you're Steve Cohen and you have billions of dollars to your name, and you probably can make that stuff up in a short amount of time if you're in that business. But that's so foreign to me that I can't really speak on that. But I don't think that's a sustainable model for anybody except those teams.
Yeah, and I don't know that this is a sustainable model for baseball in general. Like, eventually something's got to give. Like, we can't have one team spending $750 million on one player and 29 other teams going, we're not even in the ballpark with this.
Yeah, again, that finance is definitely not my strong suit, so I don't know how that works. And the that's going to be a collective thing with the ownership and Players Association and all those things that have to work that out. But that's... certainly, we did just get edged at the last minute on that deal.
Yeah, that stinks. You should have given him that suite that he wanted. I mean, then you could have had him here in Kansas City.
Yeah, but that's the 96.5 suite, so we couldn't give that one up.
That's right. Well, yeah, nicely done by you. What do you think of this golden bat rule that's been floated out there? Because I personally, I'm all for it, and if it doesn't work, then get rid of it after a season.
By the way, I'm against it.
He's against it, but I'm like, yeah, what the heck? All the other changes have been really good for baseball. The pitch clock has just been phenomenal. I've consumed more baseball since the pitch clock has come in years. It's been great. I'm binging baseball. I think it's kind of cool to have the opportunity, like Bobby leads off the ninth with a double. All right, ghost runner on second. Bobby, you're back up. Knock yourself in. Like, I think it could be fun.
I tend to disagree.
Yeah, because you get criticized for it the next day. Why did he use the golden bat this inning?
Criticism, aside, that's not really the issue. There's certain parts of the game that should continue to be the game, you know, mm-hmm. And that's just where I haven't given it a whole lot of thought because I can't imagine that's anywhere close to coming to be. You know, looking at it from everybody has that perspective of, oh, Bobby can hit twice. That's great. But then on the other side, you're facing Soto twice. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think a lot of things would have to work out in that case where you'd have to, you know, the three batter minimum. Can you change pitchers if that same guy's coming up again? I think that stimulates conversation about the game, and that's a positive, but I don't think I'd want to see that come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, because for a couple of days in the middle of football season, baseball dominated the discussion, and I think that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I mean, I think, and that part might have been part of the reason that that was brought up, you know, and that I think that was during the GM meetings, if that came out yeah. at that time, you know, so they didn't. Interestingly, it was not brought up at the winter meetings in any of the manager discussions. So I don't know why that was the case, but we did not get, you know, polled on that.
This is a stat that your wife might disagree with, but according to Craig Calcaterra, you are the 14th most attractive manager in baseball.
Oh, nice.
That's okay. An improvement.
Well, she's...
Not in my book.
Give me your secrets.
Okay, just for the record, that is not in my book an improvement, okay. But I did laugh, what was it, like 4 years ago?
No, I've only done it two.
Okay. All right, 2 years ago, dead last. Dead
last. Come on now.
Oh, man.
He goes on to say, I was going to say something like, not bad looking for an older fella.
Oh, that guy.
And then I looked and saw that he's 4 months younger than I am. Oh, well.
Yeah, you're not old.
Keep striving. Yeah, no. Yeah. But that is interesting. I look at this year moving forward. Obviously a huge blow with Vinny Pasquantino last year. I mean, you don't have to tell too many secrets, but what did that kind of do to that dugout in that locker room when that happened? Because he's a huge leader.
Well, it was a blow, clearly, you know, but, you know, so we, that night when we knew that he was going to be out for a while, you know, my mind's racing. I'm talking to JJ, talking to Bobby and Salvi and all those things. And they were the ones that came to me the next day. And Salvi, particularly, he's the captain of the team, said, I got this. Going to go talk to the guys. It wasn't something that he thought needed to be stressed for me. But basically the message was, look, there isn't one person that we're going to plug into this spot that's going to take Vinny's spot in the lineup for numerous reasons, right? The production, the handedness, the positionality, all those kinds of things. But also just understanding, like, not one guy can come in and pick up that slack. So mm-hmm. everybody just try to do the same thing that they've been doing. You know, Vinny had a ton of RBIs, and a lot of byproduct of that is that other guys were getting on base for him. So you can't drive in 100 runs if guys aren't on in front of you. So, you know, we needed to have guys continue to do that. Now, we were in a really tough spot in the schedule at the time. We did take some losses on at that time of year. But he stayed around the team. His work ethic, his dedication to get back was inspiring to the guys as well. You know, given credit to him on that night, he said, go deep into the playoffs and I'm going to work my butt off to get back. Now, we didn't even have to get deep into the playoffs for him to come back. He pushed the doctors, he pushed the trainers, he pushed himself physically to get back in 4 weeks when they had said it was going to be 6 to 8. You know, and he had an impact for us. He drove in, I think it was the first run of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He drove in for us in Baltimore. So, you know, he's an impact whether he's producing at a high level or not. And like you said, in the clubhouse, he's a tremendous presence.
Are you like during those playoff games, because you brought Vinny up and I'm picturing the play again in my mind. And we were sitting at Jefferson's watching the game on TV because obviously you guys were on the road. But the nerves in that bar on every pitch in the playoffs were, I mean, you could feel the tension. Like, how are you during a playoff game? Can you feel that tension as well? Because one mistake is so big in the postseason now.
Yeah, I mean they're amped up. The level of focus goes up. You know, you try to keep that level of focus day in and day out through the season, but especially the way those games unfolded, they were all one run games, mm-hmm. Or most of them were one run games. Especially the Baltimore games, there was no margin for error, 2-1 and 1-0. I mean, our pitchers just executed tremendously well, and we knew going into that series, you know, in a short series like that, everything's on the table. Every bullpen arm is available at all times. You know, they had Corbin Burns in game one, one of the best starters in the game. We obviously liked our starters as well with Reagans and Lugo. So we knew, we had a feeling those were going to be low scoring games, but yeah, the emotions are high. Every decision you try to have it planned, you thought through ahead of time, but in the moment, is it now? Is it next hitter? Is it next hitter? You know, so thinking those things through and working with the staff, it's fun. I mean, it's exhilarating. It's something that you want to be in all the time.